You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to the Table Talk podcast, where we explore a huge range of crucial issues and exciting developments in the food industry, with brilliant guests drawn from all areas of expertise. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a TV presenter and writer, and I specialise in food and science. This podcast is all about the circular economy for food and drink, and to explain what all that is, we have Jean Billon, Senior Business Advisor at Advance London, London Waste and Recycling Board. Hello, Jean.
Hi, Stefan.
Thanks for joining us. Now, firstly, can you tell us all about Advance London and also about the London Waste and Recycling Board and the relationship between the two?
Sure. So the London Waste and Recycling Board is a public body, as I set up about 10 years ago, and it's a partnership of the Mayor of London and the London boroughs to improve waste and resource management. So really our main objective is to reduce waste in the city, increase recycling, and support the city transition towards a low carbon circular economy. So we work with a whole range of stakeholders, with businesses, local governments and communities to help them making the best use of resources and materials.
Okay, now what do we mean by the circular economy for food and drink?
I think to answer this question, we just need to look at the current system, and the observation is that our food system is broken. So it was really a system designed to support a fast-growing population, fast economic growth, urbanization, and all this productivity gain have come with really terrible environmental and social costs. So we will need to redesign this system. So we know that food production is responsible for one quarter of the world's greenhouse gas emission. And also one of the realizations is that cities are expected to consume 80% of the food by 2050. Cities can have a huge impact on the way the food is produced and consumed. And when we're talking about resources in the food system, so to produce food, we need fertilizers. So mostly the fertilizer used are inorganic mineral fertilizers, such as phosphate and potassium. And these are mined often with in extremely polluting way, and it's also finite resources. So there is a risk that we'll run out of these resources in the near future. So we know, for example, for potassium, which is one of the most used inorganic fertilizers, that we have about 60 years of reserves of potash, this is mostly used in the agro-food industry. The even bigger problem is that so these fertilizers are used to produce food. The food is harvested, transported, refrigerated, and a third of it is thrown in the bin, which is really a big problem environmentally, socially, and economically. So the circular economy is really to shift completely the system. And a good way to look at it is a system around three main pillars. So one would be to source foods produced in a regenerative way, so meaning not destroying the soil or using resources that cannot be regenerated, so all around production. Second is making the most of food, so drastically reducing food waste, redistributing the food surplus, and in last resort, recycling food. So instead of sending food to landfill, where it will emit potent greenhouse gas emission, to make sure that this will be either composted or sent to anaerobic digestion, where we can recover the nutrients and the energy. And the third last point and pillar is around consumption. So it's all about diets and consumer choices. So it's eating organic food or less meat, and this will also enable the transition towards a circular economy for food.
So does the circular economy exist already, but just isn't strong enough? Or is it something that we have to build from scratch?
There are plenty of examples of how the circular economy for food can work. And if you look at a city like London, this is already happening when you're just separating your food waste and putting it in the food bin. The food is then brought to composting sites or anaerobic digestion. It's processed and then producing energy and fertilizers that is used to grow more food. So that's kind of a really great example of circular economy. The problem is that we are not yet at scale and that the wastage is too important at the moment. So we need to kind of find a way and to really scale all the initiatives in terms of food and circular economy.
And when you say we need to find a way, is that the stage that Advanced London is at? Are we exploring the issues, or is it really a sense that we need to roll out things that we already know work?
I think it's about scaling. So, and I'll speak a bit about the Advanced London program. So, the Advanced London program is a business support program to small innovative businesses in London to make the most of circular economy. So, we are helping more than 150 startups in the city.
Can you give us some examples of the sorts of companies?
Sure. We can give some examples of the really innovative one in the food sector. So for example, we have businesses that reduce food waste. And a good one is Wino, is a smart scale using AI technology for restaurants. So it allows a chef to basically monitor the food waste in real time and to make better choices for the purchase of foods. And this is really effective to reduce food waste. Just to know how much food is being wasted just triggers a decision to reduce the amount of food being purchased. So that's quite effective. In terms of food redistribution, we work with companies such as Oddbox. Oddbox takes surplus food from farmers and wholesalers and distributed boxes to individuals and businesses. We work with companies such as Too Good To Go or Olio, so it's food sharing platform, or in the case of Too Good To Go, an app to redistribute food from restaurants. We work with businesses using food surplus to produce new foods. So that's the case of Toast Ale. It's a brewing company using surplus breads, and they use mostly the crusts from the sandwich making companies to produce a really delicious beer, so replacing the barley in the brewing process. Another company is Anthocycle, using food waste to feed insects that can replace the protein used in the animal feed industry. So yeah, there's plenty of examples. That's kind of the great thing in this urban work, I guess, is there's a really rich ecosystem of businesses.
Yeah.
Some of them are quite small scale, some of them start to expand and reach other countries. So really our goal is to help these businesses grow and maximize their impact in the city.
And you've mentioned alternative protein for livestock and regenerative agriculture. Now, are these applicable to London issues, which doesn't have a vast agricultural base, or is it trying to spread your wings a bit further to look at the inputs into London's food economy?
I think we have to look at it as a system, as food is dependent from other places, and we are producing some outputs that can help other part of the country or of the world. So like in this case, it's really using resources in the cities to replace a product that would be potentially really harmful for the environment. Obviously the insects wouldn't be consumed directly in the city, but it's just participating to a healthier global or at least national food system.
Yeah. Now, what stage are we at with Advanced London? And what progress has been made to date? And what are the overall ambitions? What are the measures of success?
One is the number of companies we have been working with. As I was saying, we've been working with more than 150 businesses. We want to work with more than 300 in the next 3 years, with overall numbers of businesses. And what we want is also to help businesses transition toward better practices. So that's something we are trying to invest a lot of time and energy in helping either traditional businesses or even innovative businesses to change their practices. And that could be, for example, helping a catering business to divert their food waste and making sure that it can be used to produce some new products. So restaurants are throwing away pills, fruit pills or avocado stone, or like many waste products that they could be used by others. So one thing we were trying to do is to work with businesses and help them to change their practices.
And how can companies get involved? I mean, you're a senior business advisor. Are you approaching people or are they approaching you?
It's a bit of both, really. So I guess at the beginning, we were really going out there and reaching out to a lot of people. So contacting the businesses and telling them about our program. We are completely free of charge as we are publicly funded. So it's kind of making people know about what we could provide. Now I would say that we are, after 3 years of this program, people are coming more to us and we have a lot of demand. So that's also great to see.
And how do they find you?
They can find us online. So there's a Advanced London website. You can just go on there and apply for support. So there are different streams of support and they can find it and contact us.
Now we're talking about businesses here, which are, I mean, obviously going through a particularly tough time at the moment. The big concern obviously is money. Now, how does that relate to the circular economy? What are the costs or cost benefits from the circular economy, and are they real and current, or are they potential cost savings for the future?
So there's different parts in this question. So yeah, I guess what we see with circular economy practices, it's often an economic benefits along with the environmental benefits. So in all the examples that I've presented before, there is an economic benefit. So if we look again at the example of Wino, the smart platform for scale for restaurants, they are really helping the restaurants businesses to make huge economies. So they can save up to 3 to 10% of their food expenditures, which is quite a big part of their cost. So in general, just reducing food waste or using something that's considered as a waste as a positive economical impact. The other part we see is that consumers are asking more and more for sustainable products and for companies that are conscious of the environmental impact and trying to make a positive change. And this is true with the younger part of the population also. So that's kind of also another advantage of being a circular business. And the third is that also the policy framework and all the regulation are going to change in this direction. So companies are already adapt or implementing circular practices will have an advantage in the future. In terms of the investment, I would say we can see more and more investment flowing towards this kind of companies and projects, but we are still not at the scale that would be required. So there are some kind of niche investment companies investing in this type of businesses, and the impact investment world is growing quite fast. But in order to kind of unleash the full transition, we will need bigger flow of capital and investment in this type of initiatives.
Yeah. Now, just to shift onto a slightly different subject, you're working with the Ellen MacArthur Foundation because London's one of the three flagship cities selected by them. What does that mean?
So the aim of this initiative is really to bring together stakeholders that are tending to work in isolation. So we can see this a lot in all sectors, but we tend to work on issues in silos. So I would be working on the waste issue or working on the food growing issue on one side, and then working on the food processing in another. So one of the objectives of this initiative is really to bring stakeholders together around a kind of concerted and systemic approach to make this shift. So that's one point. And then the other is also to bring the sectors to do some real tests, some projects in the city. So we want corporate companies or small businesses to come here and try some of these innovative approaches in London that will help us to reduce food waste, to source better food in the city, and to eat also like better diets, more sustainable and healthy diets.
And what's been the response from industry? I mean, do they broadly like the idea, or do they really need to be pushed to make a change?
I think it has been really positive so far, and for the kind of first year of this project, I've seen a good uptake from companies participating and bringing ideas, bringing the project to the table. And I think to respond to your question, they need some support in knowing what to do, I guess. So that's one, like getting some advice and connection as well. So one good example of this is we have all these innovative businesses, but often the larger companies don't know about them. So we can help by making this connection between the innovative initiatives and the larger kind of more traditional corporate companies. And yeah, we have seen some interesting collaboration. So one is called the Nutrient Upcycling Alliance. It's a collaboration between a waste management company and a fertilizer production company and trying to do some innovative projects.
Yeah. Now, let's if we can take an example, for instance. So, I have a food company. Maybe I make. I've got a food production facility in London, and I come to you and I say, "Look, I'd love to make my business more sustainable. Where do I start?" So, what are the low hanging fruit? What are the first stage things that you might suggest?
The key first thing to understand where the impact might be is to monitor, to assess the current situation. Because if these companies don't know exactly where the impact is, it's really difficult to take a decision. So if we're talking about food waste, the first thing would be to try to assess the scale of the problem. And there are some easy way, like some company organization like RAP have developed a lot of tools and methodologies helping businesses to track the food waste. or other issue related to food. And then to so we could help them, for example, to strategize and kind of see the biggest priority to reduce the impacts, and then put together a plan of action to target this impact.
So measuring is the first issue. Do you find that they're quite surprised at the outcome of actually just laying down some data rules to what they do?
Really often, this, yeah. It's really an interesting fact. It's just we don't realize how much food we are wasting, and that's true at all level, for individuals, businesses, as it's not something that you can see in general, like a big pile of food waste. Is more something that is a daily routine, something that you bring some food to the food waste and then it's collected and disposed. But you never see like a monthly pile of food waste, which would be really shocking. So that's why sometimes there is this this kind of disconnect between the issue, because we have difficulty to grasp it, and it's not like plastic where you can see all these images with plastic in the ocean and this kind of really shocking images with food is a bit less visible, if I might say.
Yeah. Now, what are the barriers to success for this? I mean, what is it that's slowing this down for you? What are your own personal frustrations? What would you like to get moving faster?
So one, as I was saying, is a investment. So we need to shift the current investment flow from fossil fuel energies, from polluting industries towards this type of businesses, which are the future, and we see a lot of innovative investment fund in this space, but like we need to see more of this. Second would be on the policy landscape. There's a lot to do to incentivize businesses to waste less, and I mean there's a lot of discussion and interesting thing being discussed, but we need to go faster, I guess, in incentivizing businesses to reduce food waste and source better food.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how much, I mean, you deal very much with the business side of things. How much of this really also comes down to consumers making a choice between whether they spend their money with one business or another?
It's huge, really. Like that's where it all starts. If the consumers start asking businesses to change the way food is produced, and the businesses will change the way the food is produced, and we can have a really tremendous impact by changing the way we consume foods. So that's on the consumption side, but there's also on the wasting part, national figures show that actually 60 to 70% of the food waste happen at household level. So there is a big potential way to reduce the environmental impact of food waste for each person to reduce the food waste in the household.
Yeah. So let's have a quick, let's finish off by looking at the future. What do you think is achievable in the short term, and what is your ambition in the long term?
I think we can work pragmatically and which each sector and see, as you were saying, what are the low hanging fruits and really go step at a time and try to track the biggest impact and change the system little by little. In terms of our ambition and kind of next steps in Advanced London, we want to focus on the catering and restaurant industry quite a lot, as it's one of the biggest producer of food waste nationally. And we are going to launch shortly a new guide, a circular restaurant guide called Food That Doesn't Cost the Earth. And really our aim here is to give practical advice to restaurants, pub, cafe, small venues to implement circular practices. And that's looking at everything in their business, from the food they are procuring and cooking, to the energy needed in the business, water, packaging, facilities management, all the consumables and transportation. So we want to give practical advices in all these seven key areas. And it's been great. So I've been doing this in partnership with the Sustainable Restaurant Association, and we have contribution from Raymond Blanc on this. So we are really, really excited about this project.
When are we likely to see the Sustainable Restaurant Guide?
It was supposed to be already released, but we have kind of the current situation is not as optimal as it can be, this sector is suffering terribly. So I think we're going to wait a bit until the situation gets better and publish it as soon as possible.
That sounds like a good idea. Well, let's think positively about this and look forward to the restaurant industry rebooting after lockdown finishes. And it sounds like there's a huge amount of work to be done, but it's all very exciting stuff. So, John, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to catching up with you to find out how it's all evolving.
Thanks so much, Stephen. It was great to speak to you.
Well, you've been listening to the Tabletop Podcast with Jean Binon, a Senior Business Advisor at Advanced London Business Support Programme from the London Waste and Recycling Board, and me, Stephen Gates. And if you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from salmon farm sustainability to gut microbiome analysis. Take a look at all of them at foodmatters.co.uk. Goodbye.
You've been listening to the Tabletop Podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, please visit foodmatters.co.uk.